Welcome to Career Tools. This week, assessing your meeting performance. The questions this cast answers are, how do I know if my performance during meetings is good? What kind of behaviours matter during meetings? And how can I assess my own performance? Okay, we often say that professionals should be working on improving their performance, and they should know where they are, they should know the actions they're taking to improve it, and they should know, you know, how much progress they're making. But some things are really hard to measure. And in other casts, we've talked about proxies. So a proxy is a thing that you measure when you can't measure the thing. Okay, so that sounds really complicated. So if I wanted to measure how friendly somebody was, friendly is not a behavior, but we'll go with it. If I had someone who was working on a checkout and I wanted them to be friendlier to the customers, I can't measure friendly, but I could measure how many times they smile, right? If they smile at every customer as the customer comes to the checkout, the register, then I can say that, okay, if they're smiling, then the customer thinks they're friendly. And so that's a good measure. It's not the exact measure. I can't measure the friendly thing, but I can measure the smiling thing. And that's what's called a proxy. In this class, we're going to give you a proxy for being good at meetings. And again, being good at meetings is a whole bunch of behaviors. Like, being good at meetings isn't one thing that you can measure. But what we're going to show you is how you can use proxies and break down those behaviors in order to measure how well you're doing at meetings.
Absolutely. We're going to cover four things. The meeting points system, allocate points to behaviors, score your meetings, and then improve your score. It's going to be great.
Sounds easy. And before we start, we want to give this a huge, the biggest caveat we ever could. So this guidance is going to sound potentially a bit like gamification, which is has been a buzzword for the last 10 years, and it's a way of making boring things fun. So, you know, your health insurance might say, every time you go for a walk and you take our app with you and it knows that you have taken a walk, we'll give you points. And when you get 500 points, we'll give you a prize. Right? So they're making going for a walk, which is healthy and good for your health insurance, because if you're healthy, you use less insurance. They're making that into a game by giving you points and prizes. So we are going to give you points in the meeting points system. But we don't want you to be concentrating on the points and the game of the points so much in a meeting that you miss the point of the meeting. You can't play this game so hard that you forget that you're supposed to be in the meeting, paying attention, having ideas, supporting other people, all that kind of stuff. Don't play for the points. It's just a different way of thinking about the behaviors in a meeting that might help you be more effective. But if the game makes you less effective because you're just thinking about the game, then don't play it. So that said, let's describe the point system.
Right. The meeting point system is a way of making intangible assessments of meeting performance tangible. If you asked your boss, how did I do? He'd probably say fine or great, which I think we have talked about before. Those are not reporting standards. And it also doesn't tell you very much. And on top of that, it doesn't tell you how he determined that grade or came up with that grade, that assessment. So it's not super useful in that it's not repeatable, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. If that's what they say, it's probably helpful because it feels good, but it's a feeling. And if a manager that you have is pretty experienced, he might say, oh, it's a gut feel. And that could be based on his experience, right? That's based on assessments that are being made probably unconsciously. When people say, oh, I feel like it's going well, they probably have a sense based on their experience and some kind of internal understanding they have of what success looks like, right? Mm-hmm. So those feelings, while based on assessments, are really something that we want to make useful. We want to make that something we can actually measure. And so the meeting point system makes those assessments visible so that each meeting behavior is given a number of points, right? Positive or negative, according to the impact it has on the meeting. We're going to suggest some, but you can add to them or change the values according to what's seen as really important in your company and the meetings you guys hold.
Adding up the points will give you a score that you can then improve. So you do a bunch of behaviors, we allocate those points, you add up the points. If you get 300, the aim is next time to get 320 or 30 or however many. We'll give you an example to help you understand how that works. So one of the exercises we do during the Effective Manager Conference is about feedback. So if you go to the Effective Manager Conference, we cover one-on-ones, feedback, coaching, and delegation. And in each one, there's a huge amount of practice. And in feedback practice, we give you a scenario, and then you get in a group with a couple of other people, and you practice giving feedback about that scenario to one another. This is incredibly useful. To have been able to say feedback out loud and have someone hear it before you try it on your directs. So that one of the scenarios is that the manager has to give feedback to a direct who was late to a key meeting with some important sponsors of a customer initiative. And the sponsors grumbled about his lack of respect, right? He was late, that shows a lack of respect, but they also loved his ideas. Now, the catch, if you go to a conference now, you'll know the answer because I'm going to tell it to you. But so don't tell anyone else, right? The catch in this feedback is that we ask for positive feedback. And a lot of managers are like, wait, he was late. I want to give him negative feedback. He was late. But the answer is to give him positive feedback, because if you give someone positive feedback and say, hey, you did great in that meeting, the customers loved your ideas, keep it up, right? That wasn't perfect feedback, but anyway. If you do that, then one of two things is going to happen. Either the direct will say, oh, thanks, I'm glad they liked the ideas. I'm really sorry I was late. I thought you were going to say something about me being late. I'm so sorry, traffic, whatever, right? Or they won't say anything and they'll be late again and they won't have any good ideas and you can give them negative feedback about being late then.
Yeah. So
that's the trick of those things.
Yeah. And if this direct used the meeting point system for this meeting, they might realize that while they got positive feedback for their ideas, and perhaps those ideas are worth 50 points in this scoring system that we've devised, being late cost them 10 points. So being late to meetings seems to have become the norm. And so the number of negative points you might allocate for it would be fairly low. But being on time, because that's unusual, that would probably get you an extra set of points. So if being late is minus 10, being on time would be plus 20. So while his performance was 40 points positive, it could have been 70 points, right? 50 for the ideas minus 10 gets him 40, or 50 for the ideas plus 20 gets him 70. And that's just using two factors. So already we're seeing that there's a way to assess the meeting even with just two things that happen. Because there are many more behaviors that a successful professional could use to score themselves and their performance during any meeting.
So even if you had a manager who didn't give you feedback, either positive or negative, you can still do this for yourself. And this person could go to the meeting and could come out of that meeting and you know, do the addition in his head and say, okay, I got 50 points for the ideas, but I lost 10 points on being late. And I could have had 20 points for being on time. So what am I going to do next time? I'm going to try to be on time. And you don't need anybody else to influence that.
Absolutely. So we can use these behaviors and score ourselves. And we're going to tell you how to allocate points to your behaviors. Because self-assessment is sometimes hard, you might want to find a like-minded colleague, someone, you know, your friend at work or somebody who you can do this exercise with. I actually can imagine that there are some people who would love to do this. It might be easier to find a buddy to assess with you. And we list out all the behaviors that we want to consider. Think about the meeting, the structure of the meeting, and we think about it chronologically so that we can ensure that you don't miss anything. So here's a few behaviors that you might focus on. Arrival, asking questions, supporting others, right? Helping, saying, oh, I think that's a good idea, or something like that. Helping with the agenda, making sure the agenda gets completed. Vocalizing your responsibility for your tasks. If a task is assigned to you, vocalizing your responsibility for that task. Verbally agreeing or disagreeing, because in fact, the act of speaking during the meeting is something that we would appreciate from people. And so that's our contribution, right? Not only that, but contributing to a brainstorm or some other kind of interactive session, probably. Using the word and instead of but, which is a huge change in your vocabulary. If you do this, people notice. Mm-hmm. And then leaving. So these are all things. And I think I left out preparation. That's a big one. How much preparedness are you focused on? How is your preparation for the meeting going? So those are all things that you can focus on.
Those are quite big chunks. If you think about arrival, that's a big chunk of a meeting, right?
Yeah.
So you can break it down into individual behaviors. And the more you break it down, the easier this is going to be for you. So arrival could be arrive 5 minutes early, contribute to cleaning or arranging the room if necessary. When each person arrives, stand up, smile at each person as they arrive, shake hands with each person as they arrive. Introduce yourself if you don't know that person, or if the person may have forgotten who you are. You know, if you only meet someone every 3 months, then you might want to shake hands and remind them what your name is. Make appropriate small talk. Do not look at your phone. Do not look at your laptop. And have your papers arranged tidily on the table. I love people when you go to meetings and they have their laptop and then they have their papers like spread out and they're taking up three people's spaces and there's only exactly enough chairs in the room for the number of people in the meeting and this person's like taking up a whole bunch. And then they have to go, oh, I'm so sorry. And they pile it all up in front of them. And then when you ask them and they need a piece of paper, they don't know where it is in the pile because they just shuffled it all together quickly. It's one of my pet peeves.
You don't say.
Yeah, right? Like, yeah, you can tell. It's like 4 minutes of a podcast about it. So there is a lot. If you really think about what happens, there is a lot that goes into any of the chunks that Kate listed before. And if you have the show notes, because you have a license, this will be easy for you because you can just check off the list that Kate gave you because it will be written in front of you. So the number of points that you give each activity will depend on the activity and on what's important to you. So you might give behaviors more importance or points if they're more difficult for you, right? If you're a high I or a high S, you smile at people without even knowing that you smile at people. Whenever someone new comes into the room, you just smile at them. For high Ds and high Cs, we don't smile at people. I'm high D. I don't smile at people. I have one of those resting faces. Looks like I'm angry. So that's difficult for me. So if, you know, I might give myself 50 points for smiling at everyone who comes into the meeting and give myself bonus points. Because it's so difficult to encourage myself, right? Because there is a little bit of this that's about a game. We're trying to make the invisible visible, but we're also trying to incentivize ourselves for doing good behavior. So if it's difficult, I might give myself more points. And then when it becomes natural, I'll put it back to a normal number. You know, I might just give myself 10 points for smiling once I've got in the habit. And it's weird to say that you can smile, you can be in a habit of smiling, but you absolutely can.
I think we've talked about that before, about making these things, well, specifically, I mean, you and I have talked about that before, making these things habitual. So we're going to think about the behaviors that are important to us or the behaviors that we most want to influence in our own set of meeting behaviors. And you also want to think about what's important to the other people in the room. For example, if your manager attends this meeting and they're really serious about starting meetings on time, you might give arriving early, 5 minutes before the meeting, more points. Arriving on time, no points. And arriving late, lots of negative points because you know that that's important to someone else who's in the room. Those are the kind of considerations we would give in terms of points. So you can see how pretty quickly you could influence yourself in one direction or the other based on simply the list of tasks and behaviors, and then also the kinds of points that you would give to them. It might be good to note here that we would like to remind high C's that you shouldn't spend so much time analyzing the system that you never start. Approximate points are fine. And this might be a really good place to have a buddy.
Have a high eye buddy.
Yeah, let somebody else assign the numbers to you. And if you don't like doing the math, if math isn't something that you want to do, just assign points in sets of 5 or 10. So it's plus 5 or minus 5 or plus 10 or minus 10. You could do that. It would just make it a lot easier for you because it's so much faster for us to add in sets of 5 and 10 for most people. Unless you really like maths, and then you certainly could do it the other way.
Yeah, if you want to give yourself 7.53 and you can add that together, that's absolutely fine.
7.53. The high C does want to give themselves 7.53 because 5 is not, that's an approximation because it's lacking the number of decimal points to be appropriately thorough.
It is. And high C's can probably do addition faster than I can. So the 5 and 10 thing is for people like me who can't add.
Or high I's.
Or high I's, right? Yeah, because roughly is fine. In fact, high I system would only have 50s and 100s.
Yeah, because we're awesome.
Yeah, we're awesome. High I's are awesome. We ought to quickly explain the high I SLC thing before we go on, because if people are listening to this as their first podcast, they probably don't know what we're talking about. So the high DISC comes from something called the DISC profile. It's an assessment that you take. You answer 28 questions about the way you behave at work, and it gives you a letter or two letters, which are your primary way of working when you're not thinking about it, or your primary way of communicating when you're not thinking about it. High D's are the type A hard charging type. High I's are the people who are always smiling and have a million friends. High S's are reserved but have a lot of friends. They're the caring types. And high C's are the analytical types, which is why they like systems that have 7.53 as an option. And that was the minute version of DISC. So there are a ton of podcasts which go into it in much more detail. And I just, you know, skipped over everybody's good points. And you can take the profile on the website too. So if you didn't know what all the high things were, that's what they were.
Awesome. So now that we've talked about what we're scoring and how we're assigning points, how are we going to score? This part is pretty easy in theory. Again, it's often difficult to look at your own behavior while you're actually behaving. So if you can, you might ask a trusted colleague or friend to score you and return the favor to them in the next meeting.
I went to a Toastmasters meeting and I was doing an evaluation of somebody who's a really great speaker who started only 6 or 8 months ago and does a speech almost every other week and has got so good so fast. But he has a habit of saying to instead of to. So he'll say, I went to the shop. And the second part of the to is missing. And so I did the evaluation and I said, oh, one of the habits you have is of not saying to properly, you just say to. The following week, somebody else was evaluating him and also said, I heard what Wendy heard, that to instead of to. And he said, I had no idea I did that until Wendy told me. And that's the problem with behavior and, mm-hmm. and knowing what we're doing is a lot of the time we have no concept of what we're doing until somebody else tells us. So that's why it's helpful to have somebody else scoring you or working with you, because they will notice things that you don't even notice about yourself.
Absolutely. Most of our behaviors are so instinctual to us. We're concentrating on our thoughts and not our, you know, external behaviors or what we sound like or what we look like. So it's probably a good idea to have someone help you. And if you do, right, we want to be generous. For every time you exhibit a behavior, you give yourself or the person you're scoring the points. If you have plus 10 for smiling at each person, then if you manage to smile at all 10 people in the meeting, even briefly, give yourself 100 points. If you have 50 points for contributing an idea, that's the amount of points you're going to give contributing idea, and you give 3 ideas, give yourself 150. Whether you think the ideas are not great or too similar or whatever, if you've done the behavior, if you've achieved the action, if you've checked the box, then give yourself those points. Sometimes we're a little too hard on ourselves and we're trying here to reinforce behaviors. It'll get easier over time and we're going to focus on the behaviors. It's kind of like when you're measuring, right? First you count, you just count, and then you measure quality. So we've talked about this before about quantity before quality. And when you're learning something new, you want to do lots of it over and over because it increases your capability. And it really doesn't matter when you're first starting out if you do it badly, because again, we're working on increasing that behavior. Let's say you want to improve your ability to take notes at meetings. You're not going to improve very fast if you try to only take perfect notes. And we want to get better quickly, so we're just going to keep doing the behavior over and over again. At first, you might not be able to write fast enough to write everything down verbatim. And a few minutes in, suddenly things aren't going well because things aren't verbatim. But if you switch your focus and you just take notes to the best of your ability each time, then if you're in a bunch of meetings every week, 10 or, you know, 5 or 10 hour long meetings a week, then that's suddenly 10 hours of note taking practice. You're going to get better very quickly. So you have to reward yourself for the efforts that you're engaging in and the behaviors that you're working on, even if they're not perfect. You'll get better.
And the great thing about this is that there's nothing about this on your performance review. I guess there might be better in meetings because performance reviews are so vague. Your salary, whether or not you get your bonus, whether or not your boss yells at you, don't rely on these points, right? These points are just arbitrary. They're a proxy. They're in your own mind and that of your friend or your colleague, whoever's working with you, but they don't exist outside that little circle. So there's no risk, you know? So you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to say, oh, I had three ideas, but two of them were rubbish. So I'm only going to give myself points for the first one. Give yourself points for all of them, because it doesn't matter. You're trying to encourage yourself, and the points don't matter to some extent in that there's no other manifestation of them. They don't affect anything else outside of your knowledge of how well you're doing.
The last thing that we're going to talk about is how to improve your score. So we've picked the behaviors we're going to focus on, we've assigned them points, and we've scored ourselves. And now that we know our score, we can work to improve it. We're going to aim for small wins on lots of fronts. So for example, maybe you're in the meeting last week and you got 500 points. This week you want to get to 600, and you know that two good ideas add up to 100. If there's no opportunity to contribute ideas in the meeting, then you might not reach your goal. But that's not what we're trying to do every single time. We're not trying to increase our score by 20% every time. We might simply want to get better at something smaller. So maybe you managed to smile at one more person or shake hands with one more person than last week. Maybe you stop someone in their rant so the meeting stays on agenda. Maybe you don't look at your phone. All these small things can add up to 100 points. So you don't have to try to change your entire way of doing things, right? Or get the big wins. You can focus on small things, again, because it's those small things that can really change the way your meeting success goes. People will notice and they'll think that you've worked really hard to improve your meeting behavior because they can see those behaviors, even if it's not, you know, the big things that you were focused on.
Those big ideas don't come every week, but every week you have the opportunity to shake people's hands.
So true.
Focus on the things that you have the opportunity to improve a lot. That's one of those things. And Sarah and I were recording yesterday. If you haven't listened to it, we recorded the annual career checkup. And one of the things we talk about is professional organizations and joining professional organizations and volunteering with them. And it occurs to me that if you join a professional organization that has meetings, then this is a really good place to practice your meeting behaviors and play the meeting points game or the system, use the system in another place that's even less risk than doing it at work. And somewhere where you might feel more comfortable having someone else brought into the idea. So you might feel like there's nobody in my team that I could talk to about this. They'd all think I was crazy, which is fine. But if you were in a professional organization that had some kind of committee and, you know, there's two of you who want to get better, then that person might be more comfortable to discuss it with that person rather than somebody who's actually on your team at work where, again, your salary depends on things. So it's just another benefit of professional organizations, and it just popped in my head because we were talking about it yesterday.
Perfect. So there are always going to be people in the organization who behave terribly, but of course are tolerated because they have one great skill. Maybe they bring in huge sales, or they're the only person who knows the code for the mainframe. Let's try not to be that person. While those people might be smart and helpful and useful, they might not be liked or helped by others or supported in their ideas. So instead, we want to be the person whose behavior makes everyone want to work with us. And we can get better and more opportunities that way. We're going to use the meeting point system to establish those behaviors and help ourselves to become that coworker without forgetting that caveat from the very beginning, right? Yes. Don't allow this game to distract you from the content and objective of your meetings. The point of improving meeting performance is to be a better contributor. If the game puts you off, then the object is defeated.
Yes. This is a game for people who can do two things at once, which most of us believe what we can do, and most of us do badly. So just be careful. Please don't write to us in 3 months' time and say, hey, I was playing the game and my boss wants to know why I'm never concentrating in meetings. If your boss says once you're not concentrating in a meeting, stop playing or stop using this system. We want this to be useful to you. We want it to make you better, not worse. So don't go for gamification if that stops you doing what you should be doing. Okay, thanks, Kate.
Thanks, Wendy.
That's all for this week. We'll be back next week with more guidance.